gospel reading this morning is from the book of Luke, chapter 2, and you'll find this morning's reading on page 1014 in their pew Bibles. It's Luke chapter 2, starting from verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Morning. My name is Jimmy. I'm the student minister here at St. Paul's Castle Hill. I think I always start like this, but it's an absolute pleasure and privilege to open up God's Word on this platform with you all. John is very gracious to open up his platform to an inexperienced kid at college. It's quite risky to do that, and so no doubt I feel the great weight of responsibility to handle the very Word of God with great care and high regard. So it does excite me that I get to do this with you all this morning, but it's also a great responsibility, and so with that in mind, I'd love to pray. So please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks that you've called us to know you through your Son, Jesus, and you've gathered us here this morning that we could experience community with you and see a taste of heaven here on earth. We give you great thanks that you, from your word, you teach us and you speak to us, that you tell us how to live. And this morning we ask that you would focus our minds and our attention to your word so that we might go back out scattered into the world, to our work, to our jobs, to wherever it might be, that we might live for you and know how it is that we can rest well and have peace with you in this life. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Holidays, vacations, the weekend, these are the things our world lives for. When we are able to rest from our work and able to enjoy time with our family, playing sport, going to the beach, getting coffee with friends. And whether it's up the coast or overseas, holidaying is a wonderful time of physical and mental relaxation. A time of rest. It's truly a time where we can feel free to do whatever we want, wake up when we want, enjoying everything about our holiday without having to worry about whatever it is that's going on back in our normal life. But when we come back, we get those post-holiday blues. We long to go back to those beaches. We long to go back to those five-star resorts where things were just simple. We would just sip on pina coladas and we would just enjoy waking up at 12 p.m. during the day. We wish we could just never leave. The lifestyle, the freedom, the rest, it's all so wonderful. And we long to have that as the norm for our life. We might enjoy rest and peace for a couple of weeks on holiday. We come back to lives that are often so full of unrest, so full of stress and worry. Things are on our mind all the time. And when we say to ourselves, not long after we come back from holidays, I need a break. I need a holiday again. In the end, holidays are not able to provide us with sustainable rest that lasts, particularly in a world that is restless and corrupted by sin. Now, I'm not saying that going on holidays is a complete waste of time and waste of money. It is very important in this busy life that we do take time out to rest, take time out to have physical and mental relaxation with our family and our friends to regenerate. But I think this constant need to rest, to take a break from our work, is symptomatic of something. It tells us something about ourselves, that we long for a much more profound rest, an everlasting rest, one that we will find and no longer have to keep searching for, an eternal rest, one where we no longer are affected by the corruption of this world, one where there is no suffering and no pain and every tear is wiped away. This is why Christmas is such a significant day in the Christian calendar, and why the carol, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, is refreshing and wonderful to sing. For it's on Christmas Day we celebrate the one who was sent into this world to give us peace on earth, rest for our souls. In a world that's longing to rest and have peace, we celebrate on Christmas the day that the long-awaited rest, the long-awaited peace has come. As the angel proclaims to the shepherds in verse 14 in our reading, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. This is why the Savior has been born, that he might bring peace, peace on earth, giving rest for our souls. This is an incredible statement. The shepherds at the beginning are terrified in verse 9, terrified because they see the glory of God shining around them. They think we're doomed because we're sinners. And yet the angel says to them, do not fear, I have a message of joy. And then we see in verse 20, they leave praising and glorifying God. Such a difference to their first reaction. I think to truly understand how powerful this statement is and appreciate the response of the shepherds and what it therefore means for us celebrating Christmas, we need to spend some time in God's Word to see this theme of rest develop. And then I also want to look at how what this nature of rest will look like for us today. So firstly, we see in God's Word throughout the whole thing that rest is the goal of creation. Rest is what God intended in his creative purposes. From the very beginning of creation, rest between us and God was the goal. And this is not the kind of rest that we have in Bali on the beach, sipping beers and pina coladas and doing nothing. This kind of rest is much more profound. It's a rest between us and God where there is peace, where there is no stress and no worry. It's the kind of rest that we have with man and with woman, with humanity, where there is peace and fullness between each other. And the kind of rest as well that we see here in Genesis is rest between creation, where humanity and the rest of creation get along, and there is peace and fullness there as well. In Genesis 2, we see that on the seventh day of creation, God rested from all of his creating. You see, everything we see back in Genesis 1 that was created was for this seventh day. It was so that the rest of creation could enjoy the rest of God. This seventh day is supposed to be ongoing, unlike the other days of creation. Notice, on day 1, there was morning and there was evening, the first day, and so on and so forth. The formula keeps going. But when we get to the seventh day, it just simply says that God rested. That's it. No morning, no evening, no conclusion to the day. But God rested. The whole day is supposed to be ongoing. We were created to enjoy rest with God in the garden for all time, for eternity. But as we know, this rest didn't last long. In Genesis 3, sin came and corrupted
the whole world.
It turned it upside down and took away the rest which we had enjoyed with God back in the garden. We see how sin has corrupted the relationship between man and between woman, where in verse 16, the woman's desire is to rule over the man, to no longer work in partnership with him, but to rule over, to desire his position. And the both feel shame towards one another, seeing each other naked, where there was never meant to be shame in seeing each other naked. Most importantly to note is the corruption between humanity's relationship with God, though. We were created to enjoy a relationship with him in the garden, to partake in his rest. But because of sin, our relationship with him has become corrupted. Therefore, we can't enjoy the kind of relationship we once had with him, where he would be present with us, where he would walk with us in the garden. We are cut off from God and his rest. The corruption of the whole world has made it impossible to experience the rest we were originally created for. It ought not to be surprising why we long for rest, for we live in a world that is restless. We might enjoy moments, days, weeks, months, or even years, a sense of rest where we think everything's fine, it's all going to work out, we're good. But the corrupt nature of this world will reveal itself to you sooner or later, and it will rob you of any rest you might have felt. Stress, anxiety, pain, suffering are all symptoms of a corrupted world. It's no wonder we long for rest. It's no wonder we want to go on holiday. It's no wonder why we'd ever want to leave that holiday. Because the normality of our life is always full of just worries. However, all hope is not lost. A plan was already in place to restore rest even when Adam and Eve were thrown out of the garden. In Genesis 3:15, we see one who will come to deal with the power of Satan who disrupted the order of creation. Indeed, it's this one whom the shepherds announce here in Luke 2. A Savior has been born who will restore to humanity the rest that we once enjoyed back in the garden. This is the good news. The good news that we celebrate on Christmas Day. That through the restlessness of our life, through the pain and suffering, through the stress and anxiety, we remember that on Christmas Day, a Savior has been born to bring us rest, to bring peace on earth. That God would rest you merry, as the carol goes, meaning that God will give you rest that leads to joy, like the joy of the shepherds in the field who saw the one who had come to give rest, that baby in a manger. But what is the nature of this rest for us, and what does that look like today? Well, we get to enjoy rest and peace with God now and look forward in hope to the fullness and completion of this rest. You see, if we believe in what Christ has done for us, we no longer need to worry about where we stand with God, what our final destination is, whether we'll be with God or not. For as long as we trust in him, the Savior who was born on Christmas Day, we get to enjoy peace with God right now. As Romans 5, 1-2 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have a peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God." And it's this peace and rest with God now that will sustain us in the midst of pain and suffering that we still experience. As we, with creation, long for the renewal of all things, the completion and fullness of this rest, we're reminded in Revelation 21:4, Jesus will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Indeed, we see this beginning even in the Gospels, this kind of fullness and completion of rest breaking in into the world that Jesus is in. In Luke 14, we see Jesus heal a man with dropsy. If you remember back in the vision series where John talked about a man who had dropsy, that is someone who had a disease where the body was filled with liquid and would swell to an abnormal size. This man was brought to Jesus by the Pharisees to see whether or not that he would heal on the Sabbath. Now, this man was suffering physically, no doubt. But we miss the fact that he was also suffering spiritually. Because of his disease, he would not be allowed in the temple to worship God. He was considered unclean. He could not enjoy the rest with God. And so Jesus, not concerned with the Pharisees and what they thought, heals him of his disease. This is very significant. Having been healed of his dropsy, this man could now once again participate in temple worship and enjoy being in God's presence. What we see here is Jesus doing what was proclaimed about him in Luke 2. Bring peace on earth. Bring peace to this man who had dropsy. By healing this man, he gives him the ability to enjoy rest with God, to be able to go into the temple and worship. But the physical healing itself as well points towards a future rest that will be enjoyed. It tells us that Jesus worked to provide rest for his people with God, includes rest from this corruption of this world. Right now, we live in a tension. We have experienced the rest with God. Our relationship has been restored with him. But we still long to enjoy physical rest. We still long for the day where all things will be renewed. But we do so joyfully, knowing that it's coming, knowing that it's part of what the angel announced in Luke 2. On Christmas Day, we keep this in mind. We allow God to rest us merry, to give us joy, knowing that we get access to joy and peace and rest with God now, with the hope of rest coming in its full completion for our bodies and for this world. Do you know this hope? Do you know this rest? We live in a world that struggles to deal with stress and anxiety, that struggles to survive pain and suffering. The world will tell us to ignore it, offering distraction from the pain without dealing with it. Whether it's numbing the pain through usage of alcohol and drugs, ignoring it by spending all our time in leisures and activities, or dulling the pain through just buying lots of stuff, TVs, clothes, whatever it might be. The world's way of dealing with it is to ignore it, to distract yourself from it and move on. Now, no doubt there is some practical, helpful wisdom in this. But the thing is, it does not acknowledge the very corrupted nature at the core of this pain. So often we hear, that's just life. It's part of nature. But the thing is, we have seen so far that this pain and this suffering is not natural. It was never meant to be part of God's creation. He made us to enjoy his rest. And right now, we are not at rest. Something is very wrong with this world. Something just is broken about it. The very sad reality is that the solution is so obvious, but so many people won't find it. So many people will go castle towers this week and this month and buy presents and buy all this food for Christmas Day. They'll stress, they'll be worried, they'll be anxious about the day, and the day will come and go. But they don't realize that on Christmas Day, the day that so many people do stress about, is the day that the angel said would be a cause of great joy. The day where peace on earth came into this world. Because it would be this very day, on Christmas Day, that a Savior would be born, who would bring peace and rest to a world so desperate for it. It's the day we celebrate the return of the rest that we once enjoyed back in the garden with God. A day we look forward in hope to the fullness and restoration of this rest in the world and our bodies. God has sent the one who would deal with sin forever and would sustain us and keep us for the new creation to come. Christmas can be a really hard time. Not only is it stressful in the lead up, running around like crazy trying to buy presents and such and organize everything for the day, but it can be hard because it can heighten the pain we're feeling in our life. Generally, Christmas is a time of joy and time of family and friends. But for those of us who only know broken families, it can be a difficult time. Not really a time of joy at all. And the day only serves to heighten that fact that we're suffering. And what I want to say to that is, that's okay. Such a response is natural. It's normal in a world corrupted by sin. Such a response and longing for rest and peace is why Jesus came on Christmas Day. He has come to deal with sin and with the corruption of this world to give us hope that one day it will be right once again. Until then, we must hold on to Jesus. Hold on to the reality that we are able to rest with God now. And it's He who sustains us and keeps us going in the midst of all the pain. We look forward to the new creation. We look forward to the day that there will be no more tears and no more pain. As we continue to live now in this world, we must say with Paul in Romans 8:18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. We must draw near to God and enjoy the rest that we are now able to have with Him in the midst of this pain and suffering. That despite what you or your family might be going through, the pain and loss of loved ones, the brokenness of relationships, the sickness and weakness of our bodies, we can know a hope that at Christmas time there is rest and there is joy to be found. Our joy is not necessarily, though, one without the sadness of tears of sadness. But it's a joy that says with the psalmist, whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That is the joy and the rest that we have at God at Christmas time. That is what we celebrate, and that's why the shepherds go home praising and glorifying God, because they have a future rest to look forward to. Hope has come into the world. Peace on earth has come. A Savior who will rest all those who trust in Him. There are so many things in our life that are so unpredictable that happen. We like to think that we can plan for things, but things change like that. And we think, where can we find rest? Where can we find peace? That's why we have Christmas. Christmas grounds us and reminds us that we have peace and rest now. That despite whatever crap we are going through, despite anything that we're dealing with right now, we can know that what Christ has done for us on the cross is enough to give us peace now and peace and rest in the future. Before I pray and finish up, after I pray, we're going to sing a song, a carol, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. By the way, that's men and women, not just gentlemen. God rests all people. It's a call from the angel back in Luke 2 to rest you, to know that you have peace with God now, that you can enjoy the rest and enjoy Christmas time, because what God has done for you is to give you peace.